Thank you for that pity clap. Appreciate that. You know, I had the strangest dream last night. I dreamed I'd gone to heaven. And, sometimes you want to dream those, and sometimes you don't, you know. And so I got in there, and sure enough, just true to form, old Peter was showing me around the place. We got to this big room, had all these different clocks in there. Thousands upon thousands upon thousands of clocks. I said, Peter, what is this? What's this room about? And he said, well, every person that ever gets saved in here has a clock. As soon as they get saved, we build them a clock. I said, well, that's neat. I said, who's that big giant grandfather clock over there? Who's that clock belong to? He said, well, that belongs to Miss Hill. That's Ruth Hill's clock. And it was ticking about like this. Tick. Tick. I said, well, it seems like it's not keeping good time. He said, oh, you don't understand. Every time it ticks is when they sin. I said, oh, wow. You know, well, that's kind of neat. I said, well, that's kind of a neat streamline-looking clock there. That mantle clock you got up there, that seems to be running a little bit faster. Whose is that? He said, oh, that's your preacher's clock.
Yeah.
It was kind of humming along, you know, tick-tock, tick-tock, tick-tock. I said, well, it's a beauty. You know, I like that clock. And I started looking around. I was looking around, and I said, Peter, I got a problem here, and I hope you can really ease my fears, but I don't see a clock here for my buddy David Ballard. I said, surely you're going to tell me he is saved. And he said, oh, yeah, he's saved, but his clock's in the back room in the workshop right now. I said, oh, did it break down? And Peter said, no, we use it for a fan. How'd you like that one, huh? I know. And you know the beauty of that whole thing? I didn't get my paycheck this week yet. 2 Kings chapter 20. Later, I'll mail it to you, honey. That's okay. Not all women are born blonde, you know. Some have to work their way up to that. Oh, okay. 2 Kings chapter 20. Is this working? I don't know if it's working or not. Is it working? Are we there? All right. Well, we'll try it. I'm not much for these things. I like them, but they don't like me too much. Higher on my tie. Oh, there we go. How's that? Is that better?
How's that?
I want to talk to you tonight. I kind of dilly-dally in God's Word. I'll try to be quick. I want to show you a couple thoughts that the Lord gave me some time back. And I had a brand new, all shiny, neat, and clean, polished sermon to give you tonight. The Lord said, no, junk it. I want you to go back to that old one that you haven't preached in about 5 years. I said, okay. And I want to show you some things. In 2 Kings chapter 20, the story picks up Hezekiah. It says in verse 1 there, Hezekiah was sick unto death. And so we know the story, how that he prays and says, oh, Lord, you know, won't you give me some more life? You'll find out, if you really study that out, God had to keep him alive because he didn't have a son yet. And he was of the line and seed lineage of David, and he had to have an heir. So he had to keep him alive. But Hezekiah realized that. I think that's a really neat truth. A preacher friend of mine showed me that. He didn't have a son yet. So he had to keep him alive. Now, he could have done other things, I know. But God always keeps his promises. And that's what we're going to talk tonight a little bit about. But so we see that he does keep him alive. And Isaiah is the man of God that comes in and talks to Hezekiah about that. And we're not even going to really talk about all that. So he says, now how am I going to know that God's going to keep me alive and give me some more life? He says, do you want the sun to go backwards? 10 degrees or forward 10 degrees? He said, well, how about backwards? Because forward doesn't seem quite as big of a thing as backwards in time, you know? And so the Lord does that for him. Now look at, we're going to pick it up at verse 12. At that time, Beradak, Baladan, the son of Baladan, king of Babylon. Okay, king of Babylon. Get that phrase in your mind. Who's Babylon? To Israel. Bad stuff, the enemy. Okay, enemies. Supposed to be enemies. So this king sent letters and a present unto Hezekiah, for he'd heard that Hezekiah had been sick. We all like to get those get well notices, don't we? We all like the cards and the baskets and the flowers. Verse 13. There's a problem with it, though. And Hezekiah hearkened unto them and showed them all the house of his precious things, the silver and the gold and the spices and the precious ointment, and all the house of his armor and all that was found in his treasures. There was nothing in his house nor in all his dominion that Hezekiah showed them not. Now, I'm going to abbreviate again. Then Hezekiah comes in and basically says, what fool, ignorant thing have you just done? He said, well, I was just showing him around. He said, what did you show him? He said, well, I showed him everything. Everything? Yeah, I showed him everything. He said, mark my word, Hezekiah, there's going to come a day when that king is going to come knocking on your door, and he's going to clean this place out and take you lock, stock, and barrel because of your foolishness. Right. And I think it's interesting, and it's not really part of what we're going to talk about, but I think it's very interesting at what verse 19. Look at verse 19. Then said Hezekiah unto Isaiah, good is the word of the Lord which thou hast spoken. And he said, is it not good if peace and truth be in my days? How selfish. He's saying, well, I don't have to worry about that because, you know, I'm living for the Lord and that's down the road. They can worry about it later. Well, there's a good selfish guy for you. But I want to show you something here. I want to focus in on verse 13 where it says, Hezekiah hearkened unto this king and showed them all the house of his precious things. I want to talk to you tonight about precious things. Not really showing you too much else out of that scripture. Now I want you to turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. Second Peter chapter 1 and verse 4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. Lord, we love you tonight, and I thank you, Father, for your precious word and how precious it is. Oh God, I pray tonight that I might be able to get this message across that you would have for someone in here tonight, including myself. Lord, I'm just a feeble man, flesh and blood, and just a piece of clay, Lord. And I just ask you now to cleanse my lips. And Holy Spirit of God, speak through me tonight. Thy will be done. In Jesus' name, amen. There's some precious things in our life, and I want to ask you tonight the same thing that Isaiah was asking King Hezekiah those thousands of years ago. What is important to you? What is precious to you? You know, when I think of precious, I think of a little baby, a newborn baby. And I remember my parents telling me that when I was born, my mom said, oh, what a treasure. And my dad said, yeah, let's bury it. Not really, but I think of a precious newborn baby. When I think of the word precious, I think of a newborn baby. That is precious. And you know how those mothers are, you know, people coming over and they're pawing on that. Oh, let me hold the baby. And sometimes they're kind of like, well, okay, you know, okay, that's enough, you know. You ever seen him do that? That's enough. Because why? Because that baby is precious to them. especially in this day and age, they don't want to let their eyes off of that little one for not 1 second, not 1 minute. And why? Because that baby is precious. I want to ask you some things that Isaiah was asking Hezekiah. What is precious tonight to you? When I think of things that are precious to me, I think, first of all, I think about my two children. That's the first thing that comes into my mind. I've had a couple times in the last several years, a couple close calls. I used to drive a lot, and I don't tell my wife everything that happens on the road because she just worries. And so why, you know, after it's done, why tell them, right? You know, then they're just going to get all worried about something that didn't happen. But I used to drive a lot, and I delivered medication and stuff on all these back roads, and many times had quite a few close calls. And whenever those times would come up, the first thing that would come into my mind was my family, my wife and my children. And those things ought to be precious to us. But you know what? There's some other things that Peter was trying to share with the saved there that are also should be precious to us. He tells us there that whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. I'm not going to tell you anything you don't know tonight, but I just want to remind you of a couple things you should know and should remember. The first thing is the promise of salvation. Yes. If you're here tonight and you know Christ as your Savior, you've asked Christ to come into your heart and save you tonight, that is precious. That should be above and beyond anything else in your life. That should be the most precious thing to you in your life. Above and beyond your children, above and beyond your wife or husband, is your soul's destiny. Should be. Thank you for that two amens. I appreciate that. That should be so precious to us. And I think in this day and age in which we live, especially in a lethargic, spiritually dead country like America, it's not. It's not precious to us anymore. You know, so what does it have to take, people? Does it have to take the Chinese or the Russians to come in and put a gun to our head before we think our salvation is precious to us? It shouldn't take that, see? It should be that something that we think about every single day of our lives. The first thing I do when I get out of bed in the morning is I go, well, the first thing I do is I go, oh, brother, oh, like that. And then I say, thank you, Lord, I'm saved.
Yep.
That's the first thing I do. And then I go in and brush my nasty, rotten teeth and say, thank you, Lord, that I can pray. And then I jump in the shower. And the next thing I think of is this precious promise right here. This book means a lot to me. Yeah. I've got a copy of God's Word in my hand.
Yep.
He gave this to me.
Yep.
And not you or anybody's getting it from me.
Amen.
You got that? Don't come looking for it because you ain't getting it.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
This is precious.
Yeah.
Friend, if you're here and you don't know God, you don't know the Lord as your Savior, you don't know what you're missing.
Amen.
You don't know what you're missing out on. This is precious.
Yeah.
I remember the story. I'll never forget this as long as I live. Dr. Bruce D. Cummins, right after the walls came down in Berlin,
yeah,
had a chance to go over and pass out Bibles in Russia. And so he told about passing out these Bibles in Russia when he got back. And he remembers especially two ladies walking down a long street by themselves. They were talking, and he gave them a Bible. And he just had one left, and he gave it to the both of them. And he couldn't talk Russian. Well, he can talk what he wants now, but he couldn't speak Russian. He gave them the Bible, and they just kind of looked at it like that and just kept on walking and talking. He said he noticed. He sat there and watched them, and they started fanning through. And when they realized what they had in their hands,
yeah,
they looked back at him and went like this, and then they went,
yeah,
they kissed it.
Yeah. Yeah.
When's the last time you kissed that book?
Yeah.
and said, "Oh God, I'm not worthy to have your promises written down in writing where I can read them." You don't realize what you got in your hands. Does it lay on your table and gather dust? Say, "Well, it's time to brush it off and take it into church. He might ask me to open it again." Huh? When's the last time you cracked this thing open? Open that book. You ought to be wearing this thing out, especially in these uncertain days. You think the Capitol building has the answers? You think the White House has the answers? You think the Oval Office is going to have the answers with that new man in there? The new man with the new plan? Here's the plan, friend. Here's the answers. Jesus Christ is the answer for that longing deep in your soul. Nothing else, nobody else, right here. This is precious. This ought to be precious in your heart tonight. Don't take it for granted. You mark my word, if we live long enough, we'll see the day when they'll come knocking on the door looking for those Bibles. Don't think that's some faraway land. Don't think that's China and North Africa and Russia and France and all these other places. It's coming to a home near you. Yes, sir. It's around the corner. We're not talking about fantasy land. We're talking about here and now and today. It's coming. I know right now everything seems nice, and you know, maybe the economics is a little uncertain, but everybody has their freedoms. They can still come, and we can gather in a church building, and we can read this book and many other things that we enjoy. But it might not be that way all the time, and not for very long. So you ought to get a hold of this book and learn as much of it as you can. Hide it deep down in your heart. It ought to be precious to you. And for someone tonight, this is something they need. Another promise is eternal life. I see some folks here that they just got saved. And we thank you for coming. It means a lot to us. We appreciate it. We just got saved. I want to share something with you, and maybe this isn't something you're thinking about, but somebody here needs this tonight. The Lord has been working on my heart all day about this. Let me share this with you, friend. If you have asked Christ to come into your heart and save you, you know what? You know how long you're saved? Forever. And ever and ever and ever and ever. You'll never not be saved ever again in your life. Get that deep down in your heart. Turn to John chapter 10. These are all verses that many of us know, but maybe some of us don't. I want to show it to you. John chapter 10. And the Lord there says, "And I give unto them eternal life." In verse 28, thank you. John 10:28, "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish." Amen. Never perish. They shall never perish. You ought to have that underlined in your Bible. Circle it, put a big fat star by it, highlight over that thing. You'll never perish tonight, friend, if you know Christ as your Savior. "Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." Amen. And Philippians 1:6 says, "Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." When you got saved, Jesus Christ started to begin a good work in you. So that says to me that you're always saved. You can never not be saved after you've accepted Christ as your personal Savior. You're always saved. I don't care what you might hear on television or on the radio or read in some flim-flam book on a Christian bookstore. Don't listen to all that junk. Look at God's Word. God's Word says you're never going to perish once you know Christ as your Savior. And it says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption." That is the day Christ comes back to claim his own. What a day that's going to be. Amen. What a day.
Amen.
You cannot perish. You'll never lose your salvation. If you know the Lord is your personal Savior, you're always going to have that.
Yes.
Because you didn't work to get it. You can't work to keep it.
Amen.
It's a gift. It's a gift. And this is one I threw in there just for the flimflammers. I remember several years ago I was talking to this guy that he was a part of a church, well, I'll say Free Will Baptist Church. And so they teach that you can lose your salvation. Not all of them, but most of them. Most Free Will Baptist churches teach that you can lose your salvation. So I said, well, let's read this verse together that you guys like so well. And it's in Hebrews chapter 6, and it says, "For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame." And he says, he climbed on that bandwagon so fast, I loved it. He said, "See, right there it is. You can lose your salvation." I said, "Is that right? You can lose it?" "Yeah, you can lose it." I said, "Then you better look at the first several words of that, Charlie, because you're eternally damned if that's the case."
Right.
Because it says, it's impossible to get it back. You blew it. You lose. One for God, zero for sinner.
Yeah.
Okay? If you can get lost, then you blew it. You can't get it back.
Right.
It's impossible.
Right.
So what is Paul saying there? Is he saying that you can be saved and then lost and then you're... No. He's trying to get the point across that you can't lose it.
Yeah.
And if you lost it somehow, you weren't saved in the beginning.
That's correct.
If you somehow lost what you thought you had and you realize you're lost, you were never saved. And you need to get saved.
Right. Right.
That's what the Lord is trying to tell us here. That's the promise of eternal life. And then the promise of the Holy Spirit. John chapter 14 and verse 16. Oftentimes I'll read this verse when I go to a rest home or a hospital bed. I'll read these couple of verses where the Lord says in verse 16, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever." What a thought. John 14, 16. "Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you." What a thought. Jesus Christ not only saved my soul, he not only has sealed me with the power of the Holy Spirit, he has not only promised me a home in heaven for eternity, he gave me the Holy Spirit to be with me wherever I go. So anytime I'm feeling blue or down or discouraged or depressed or in despair, the Holy Spirit is right there to say, "Come on now, child. Let's pick it up. Pick up them droopy shoulders. Straighten up that lower lip there. It's okay. I'm here. I'm with you. You've got eternal life. You've got so much to live for." The promise that the Lord gave us that will never be comfortless. And then another promise that I love is the promise of eternal love from Jesus Christ. Look at Romans chapter 8. Look at Romans chapter 8. Look at verse 35. Doesn't get any better than this. "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature..." Let's pause right there. Can you think of anything else in the universe that Paul didn't put in this list? He covered it all. "Nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Yeah,
friend, if you're feeling down and depressed and discouraged tonight, you know Christ is your Savior. You've got something that 99% of the world does not have and never will have, unfortunately. Never will have. They'll slip off into a Christless eternity not knowing the precious promises that are filling this book. What a precious promise. Jesus loves me. I am so glad that my Father in heaven tells of the love in this book he has given. Wonderful word in this Bible I see. Oh, what a promise that Jesus loves me. And on it goes. What a thought. You know what? Maybe tonight, maybe you're a murderer. Maybe you're an adulterer. You know what? Christ forgives every single sin you've ever committed or ever will commit.
Yes.
He loves you.
Yes.
You say, but I don't understand. I can't. He loves you. End of story. End of story. That's hard for us to understand, you know. And I remember talking to a man one time. He said, I've been too bad. I can't be saved. I said, have you ever murdered anybody? He said, oh, well, no, I've never done that. I said, well, he saved a murderer. You ever hear of this guy named Moses? Everybody's heard of Moses. I said, Moses was a murderer. He went to heaven, don't you think? Oh, yeah, I'm sure he went to heaven. I said, that's because he knew Christ. He was saved. I said, how about adultery? King David committed adultery. He went to heaven. He knew Christ. What a precious promise that Jesus Christ loves me when I'm good, when I'm terrible, when I'm sinning, when I'm living for Jesus, when I'm telling people about His Word, when I'm acting like I don't even know Him, which ought not to be. But Christ loves me. The promise that we're going to get to meet other loved ones in eternity someday. What a precious promise that is. Just a King David, when his little baby died, he said, he cannot come to me, but I can go to him.
Yes.
He lost that little baby. And that tells me that babies are in eternity, folks.
Yes.
If you've lost a little one here,
yes,
they're off in eternity waiting for you,
yes,
to meet up with them again someday.
Right.
What a comfort. What a comfort that we know that our loved ones and those of our friends and loved ones that are saved, they're in eternity waiting for us in heaven. It says in Colossians 3:4, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. Appearing with Christ in glory, that's a promise. Wow. And then the promise of God's provision for His children. You know, if all that spiritual stuff doesn't do it for you, and you're worried about today how you're going to pay your rent and your electric bill and put gas in your car and all the rest of it, David said, I've been young and now I'm old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread.
Amen.
That's a promise. God will take care of you. God will take care of us tonight. If He cares for the little sparrows, don't you think He'll care for us? His eye is on the sparrow. Don't you think He'll care for us?
Yes.
Oh, but the economy, I lost my whole, you know, I lost, my father lost, I don't know, I think he said $47,000 in the last 2 years. That's a lot of dough.
Yep.
Praise God, I didn't have it to lose. Amen. Start zero, end zero. You know, I'm just smooth sailing, amen?
Amen.
That's what you call that financial future, just flat line like that, you know? It's flat line, all right. That's okay. Lord knows what I need, what I don't need. But what a provision God gives for His children. God's not going to leave you hungry and without. You do right by God, and He'll do right by you.
Yes. Yes.
You give God His, and He'll give you yours.
Yes.
You know, I was thinking the other day, preacher, when you were talking about Elijah, you know, about the barrels of water, poured the barrels of water on there. You know what Elijah was doing? He was tithing. It was a famine. There was no water. There was no water. He was giving God his first. I know there's other things going on there, but that's what I think he was doing. He was tithing. He was giving God his. See, God wants his. And then he'll give you all kinds of stuff that you never dreamed of. Yeah, you can, you know, tell me about that. I was wrong later, but that's what I feel in my heart. He was giving God his due first. He was giving God. There's no water. You know, there's no water for 3 years. Where are you getting the water from? Think about it. A barrel of water, one barrel, is going to be worth a lot of dough. He did nine. There's a drought.
It was a special commodity.
Yeah. That stuff was like gold. But God got his first. Amen? Yeah. But the promise that God has for us listed in this book, I could go on all night with promise after promise after promise that is listed here in this book. The promise of God's abiding faithfulness. It says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, I'll read it to you real quick if I got just a second. Says, I love this. It says, 2 Timothy 2:11 says, it is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. Look at this. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. God is faithful. Even when you decide not to be faithful, God has to be faithful because he's God.
Right.
And he keeps his word.
Right.
See, God is honorable. He's not like us.
Right.
He doesn't break his promises and lie and shade the truth and tell people half of what they, you know. He's not like that. He tells you right up front, here's the plan. Here's what I expect. Here's what I want you to do. And even if you mess all that up, I'm still going to be God. I'm still going to be faithful. I'm still going to do right. Whether the whole world does wrong, God will do right. And I want to tell you something tonight, friend. Get this down deep in your heart. I hope you feel that way towards your Lord tonight. If the whole world decides you're going to be a Muslim, you know what? This old boy ain't going to be Muslim. I ain't never bowing my knee to a man called Allah. It's a false idol. I'm not doing it. I don't care if they parade him down the streets and say, praise Allah, I'm not doing it. Get it settled down deep in your heart what is precious to you tonight. I watched a video earlier today, and these Muslims were, they took the flag, and they were stomping on it. Oh, it just made me so angry. I wanted to reach right through that TV screen, and you got it. Just snap that thing in seven places. It made me so mad. That's my flag.
Yes, sir.
That's my country.
Yes, sir. I love it. Amen.
What's precious to you tonight? What's precious to you tonight? If somebody walks up to you in the near future and puts a gun to the head and says, give up your Bible or die, what are you going to say? What are you going to say? What's precious? I hope you know what's precious to you tonight. Let's pray.
With every head bowed and every eye closed, I'll tell you the most precious thing to God is an eternal soul. Your soul that's going to live forever, either in heaven or in hell, is precious to Christ. You're here and you've never been saved. You'd say, preacher, I'd like to ask Christ to save me tonight. Pray for me. Who'd say that? Raise your hand. I'd like to be saved. Maybe you're here and you're way people, it looks like everyone's here saved. How precious is that Bible to you? You know, I just got, just a few days ago, I was just, I was holding it. I kissed it. I kissed it over and over. I said, oh, you're so wonderful. There ain't nothing wrong with kissing that book. It's wonderful. I've kissed it. Recently, I've kissed it. It's precious. It's pure. It's inspired. It's from God. I think one of the greatest things, all of us, and I, the preacher included, we could read the Bible more than what we do. And we lose out on the precious words of Christ. Let's think about these precious things that he's given us. Let's hold them more closely to our heart. I've seen those Russians. I've seen those other missionaries tell me about. They'll hug that Bible like they hug a precious baby, their baby. How many of us hug our Bibles? We ought to. Heavenly Father, help us tonight to thank you for all the precious things that you've given to us. Our salvation, our Savior, our families, Holy Spirit, the church. So many, Lord, I could just keep the Bible, scriptures. It never ends, never ends. Free country. We live in the greatest country in the world. Thank you for letting us be Americans. Bless my people tonight. Thank you for the message from Brother Mark. Help us to think about those precious things. And help us not to give those precious things away. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand. We're going to sing a verse.